You're about to hear the Sunday sermon from the Grapevine Church of Christ in Grapevine, Texas, a family who's devoted to giving our lives to and living our lives for Jesus Christ. If you have any questions about today's lesson, visit us on our website, www.grapevinechurch.com. Thanks for listening.
Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. I don't know how your day started, but let me tell you about my day. Alarm goes off at 4 a.m. My daughter's getting ready to go to Nicaragua. My mother-in-law is taking her. My mother-in-law reminds me numerous times yesterday, she has to have coffee. No problem. I'll make you coffee. Yes, right. I'll make you coffee. Make her coffee. Go to bed. Everything's great. Alarm goes off 4 o'clock. I hear the coffee go off. That's good. I go get Anna Lee up. Not so good. I start moving that way. Coffee's still going. Life is good. We're moving and shaking. But I notice the coffee maker doesn't sound right. Walk in the kitchen. A coffee maker always works better if it's got a pot underneath it. Laurie and I have always wondered, will my coffee maker let coffee drip without the pot? I got that answer this morning. It will. So there's coffee all over the ground, coffee all over my counter, and my mother-in-law at 4 o'clock in the morning has to have coffee. And for all you who have mother-in-laws, let's keep them happy, especially when they're taking your daughter to Nicaragua. So I go to QT, I get some coffee. As I'm getting coffee at QT, what do you think happens? Yeah, that's right, I spilled it all over me. At QT, I looked at the poor QT guy and was like, sorry, dude. It's 4 a.m. It's all over the place. I get another cup of coffee. And, you know, we'll get it to my mother-in-law. We get in the car. We get to the airport. Kid gone. Let's all hope they should be getting to Nicaragua Customs right now, that Nicaraguan Customs thinks it's really normal for a 10-year-old to be with her grandmother going on a mission trip. But do all that. We get home. I need coffee because, remember, I spilled all the coffee. And QT coffee. Okay. And so I clean up the coffee pot, getting ready to make coffee again. And I'm pouring water in there and realize that water is just continually pouring out of my coffee maker. You've got to turn the coffee maker off. So from 4 a.m. until who knows when, I've had it on and I've got coffee everywhere once more. Laurie is kind of laughing at me, and I just said, I'm out. Somebody else can preach today. I'm done. But how's your day going? Hopefully it's going a lot better than that. Martin Luther King says this: I've seen too much hate to want to hate myself, and every time I see it, I say to myself, hate is too great a burden to bear. Somehow we must be able to stand up against our most bitter opponents and say, we shall match your capacity to inflict suffering. We will meet your physical force with soul force. Do to us what you will, and we will still love you. But be assured that we'll wear you down by our capacity to suffer. And one day, we will win our freedom. We will not only win freedom for ourselves, we will appeal to your heart and conscience that we will win you in the process, and our victory will be a double victory. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this moment. It's through your Son and in your Spirit we come, Lord, as people who have questions, as people who this week may have been afraid, as people who may have had a little bit of hatred run through their lives, Lord. And Lord, we know you are the God who walks with us, who enters into our life. And we know in the midst of all that you are present, Lord. So today we ask for a word. We pray your Spirit open our hearts, open our minds to your comfort and your love. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. There are no words which can heal the events of the last 3 days. We sit and watch events unfold that we cannot comprehend. Unbelief, shock, despair, sadness, and anger are the emotions which we are trying to control. What drives us to believe that the only way to solve a problem is through violence. Where an eye for an eye becomes the mode of living with one another. Because in these moments, there's a void that's created when hatred happens towards others. This is what violence and hatred does to all of us. It creates a void in which we need to fill, we want to fill. And it's this void which binds us to the powers of hatred. It changes the way we see people. Our imagination only goes as far as the lens we're seeing through. And this lens is hatred and violence's greatest achievement. Humanity is lost through this lens. That which God created and became, true humanity, is transformed into something opposite. We no longer see a person who has a creator, a person who is created in the image of God. No, now we see someone or something that must be destroyed, that must be dominated. What I mean is hate reduces people to objects. Objects in which we either benefit from or we force to conform to our way of thinking. Instead of hope and open doors, hate closes doors. It causes us to close in on ourselves and let anyone who may look different or speak different than us on the outside. Self-preservation takes hold of this community. We become people desperate to preserve our way of thinking, our lifestyle, or our freedoms. The fear created by hatred tells us the only way to fill the void is by quieting the one we perceive creating the void. It's this fear which whispers into our ear to trust no one, to listen to no one, and to love no one. It transforms us into something other than our created image. We run away from that which we are created into and run toward that which is other than ourself. So instead, we find ourselves looking through a lens which sees fear around every corner. Hate's ultimate goal is to see the dissolution of true humanity by creating its own humanity. Because you see, hate, while you may not believe it, is a creative force. It creates something. It's trying to create something. It's trying to create a humanity which no longer sees and values the person for who they are. This version of humanity opposes any contrarian thoughts or opinions. Its first movement is to exclude before include, to turn our backs instead of open our arms. And in the end, when we finally believe the void which was created has been filled by our words and our actions, what we will find is that hatred and violence did exactly what it set out to do. It did not bring peace, and it did not bring reconciliation. It did not even fill the void it created. What we realize is hate becomes a void that can never be filled. No matter how many people you exclude, how many people you overcome, how many people you dominate, hate is constantly searching for its next victim. And over the last week, this is the place that we sit today. We can't ignore it. We can't turn off our TVs, our social media, our radios. It's there. And I don't think we should ignore it. I think we need to look at it head on. And I think we need to sit there in silence. We're going to hear a lot of words. We're going to hear a lot of people say a lot of good things. But sometimes in the midst of this, we just need to sit. We sit in silence and despair, not knowing the right words to use. We don't know what to say. We don't know what to do. And in these moments, it feels like hate and violence wins. But I want to take you back to a few minutes. A few minutes ago, Bob led us in the Lord's Supper, a meal which we eat in the presence of the cross. And it is here today where we sit, in the shadow of the cross. The cross, which for the powers of the time was the instrument of violence and fear used against the people. The horrific violence of the cross was a sign to the people that they would never win their freedom. Yet, we are the people of the cross. We are the people who, in the words of Paul in 1 Corinthians 1:18, says this: the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. The instrument of violence and hatred, the instrument which was used to remind people where they stood in the pecking order of life, the very instrument used to strip humanity from others. Paul tells us it is through the cross we are being saved. And I want you to know the language. It's through the cross that we are being saved. Not just we are saved, a one-time event, but through the cross we are being saved, a continual event. And Paul says it is in this continual event that you are being saved. And it's in this continual event in which you will find the power of God. It's here in the shadow of the cross where we find our true humanity and our true freedom. In John 14:9, Philip is talking to Jesus, and this is what he says: "Have I been with you all the time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, 'Show us the Father'?" To see Jesus is to see the Father. The incarnate Son is the ultimate reflection of the Father. The Son who kneels and prays at Gethsemane, imploring of the Father to let this cup pass from him. Jesus staring into death, staring into the possibility of the violence and the hatred that was going to be coming at him. And we can understand his response. We can understand why Jesus would say, "Let this cup pass from me. This violence is too much to bear. This hatred is too much to bear. Don't make me go through this." And yet it's in the next breath where he gives himself up to the Father and says, "But not my will." The Son who looks at his disciple in Matthew 26, you know, the disciple who has the sword. The disciple who with the sword decided it was a good idea to take off a guy's ear. That disciple, and it's in Matthew 26, where Jesus says, "Those who live by the sword will die by the sword." It's here in these moments, in these experiences with the Son, that we begin to sense who the Father is. The Father, through the Son and the Spirit, is the free expression of radical, selfless love. The one willing to give up himself for humanity in the most horrific ways to break the cycle of violence and hatred which has been infecting the world. The one who goes to the cross is the one who, out of his overabundance of love, takes on the suffering of the world. He bears the violence and the hatred, not with reciprocal violence and hatred, but with an outpouring of love. And it's on the cross that we begin to see the inauguration of the kingdom of God. It is love which breaks the chains of self-hate, oppression, violence, and domination. It's at the cross where Jesus binds himself in suffering with humans, and it's in that moment on the cross that hope is planted in creation once more. Violence no longer has the last word on the cross. The creativity of God bursts forth from the cross because in this moment, violence, hatred, fear, and domination is being transformed. When angels could have been called, when the wrath of God could have been poured out on those committing the violence, what picture do we see? We see suffering love. We see the picture of what love truly is. Love one another becomes the action and image. It is a love willing to open itself up and enter into the life of the person next to you. A love which will suffer with the other in compassion and mercy. This is not a love in which we just talk about or pour out on only certain individuals. And that's going to be the easy route to take. To pour out love on the people we believe are right. On the people that we believe should deserve it. But we see something different on the cross. This is a love that is not focused on only those who you like, who believe you, or sound like you. That is the image that hatred and violence wants you to have of love. That love is only set out for certain people. That love is only poured out to those people you like. That is still the image of hatred and violence. That's what hatred and violence is trying to get us to walk into. Because hate is looking to create the image of a self-centered love. Hate, fear, and violence constrict, and they bind us to only certain movements, in certain directions, towards certain people. Hatred and violence don't let our love be what our love is supposed to be, which is a love of the cross poured out on all. Instead, the love of the Father through the cross is for all. It is a solidarity with all of humankind, the neighbor, the immigrant, the foreigner, the widow, the poor, and those who don't think like us or look like us. This is the love of the Father which is poured out on all of creation, whether creation wants it or not. It happened. It is a love that transforms and refreshes. It breathes life in the midst of death. It is a movement toward instead of a movement away. It includes instead of excludes. In the shadow of the cross is where our freedom begins. Because it's at the cross where we see the imagination of God at work. We see at the cross 1 John 4:8 come into fruition, which says, God is love. This is a love that is free to not, dominate, but open doors. It is a love willing to suffer alongside both sinner and saint. And I want to say that again. It is a love that is willing to suffer alongside both sinner and saint. It's not a love that is allowed to be decided who gets it and who doesn't get it. This radical love, this suffering love, has the power to unmask hate, violence, and fear. This is the radical love that Jesus is calling his community into. This is the radical love that the Father is calling his community into when he goes to the cross. And how radical is this love? How powerful is this love? The prophet Hosea gives us a little glimpse of what this love is of the Father. In Hosea 2, God actually divorces his children. The language of Hosea 2 is divorce language. And it's Hosea 2:18 in which the prophet begins to show us this kind of radical love and what it can do. How God's love has a way of bringing that which is separated back together again. In Hosea 2:18, he says, I will abolish the bow, the sword, and war from the land, and I will make you lie down in safety. And I will take you for my wife forever. I will take you for my wife in righteousness and in justice, in steadfast love and in mercy. I will take you for my wife in faithfulness, and you shall know the Lord. Notice what God doesn't say. God doesn't say, as soon as you get everything right, Israel, I'll come back to you. Notice what God doesn't say. My love will be held back until I see a few things. Instead, what does this love do? The love of God, the one who's the victim, God the victim, God the one who his love has been abused, is the one who goes to the adulterous lover Israel and says, I will continue to be faithful to you. God doesn't say, as soon as you get it right, Israel. God's love has the power to bring that which was separated back together again. It is out of God's love which we find ourselves inside of today. It's God's hospitality and love to a creation that shunned him. Love opens doors. It is the creativity of love which opens us up to the enemy. And today we need to hear this. It is God's love which opens us up to the enemy. As God embraced us through the cross, we too embrace the enemy, even in the midst of them being guilty. You can forget hating the sin and loving the sinner, because love frees you not to be afraid of the sin in someone else's life. Love points you in the direction towards the person, opens you up, and frees you to journey with the sinner without any preconditions or without any notions of perfection. This radical love, which starts in the shadow of the cross with the Messiah on the cross, allows us never to ever have to use the term hate the sin, love the sinner. The sin, it starts out bad. Hate and love struggle to be next to each other. What this love of the cross does is allow you to forget the hate and love the person. Journey with the person. And it's in that in which Jesus on the cross envisions this new community. A new community in 1 John 4:7 through 12 that says, Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. This is the freedom for a community to tear down walls that have been built between us and them. A community which loves for the sake of the person sitting next to you or even at your workplace. The freedom opens you up to a relationship in all of its glory and all of its messiness. And why is this freedom? Because many of us have let fear and hate keep us from taking the first steps toward relationships. We've allowed fear and hate to be the cause for us to step out of relationships. The freedom to love says that we no longer live by the sword. Instead, we live in the shadow of the cross. Where fear and hate binds us, holds on to us, brings out judgment, brings out fear, brings out the pointing of fingers, brings out looking at people and saying, you don't talk like me, you don't act like me, you have a different opinion than me, so instead, let me build a wall. Fear and violence and hatred has a way of building walls instead of breaking down walls. It takes a lot of energy to build up a wall. Really, it does, and I'm hoping my daughter learns that in Nicaragua, that it takes a lot of work to build those things. How much pain, time, energy, and stress have you wasted because of hatred? How much fear, time, energy, and stress have you wasted because of violence? And while you may say, it's not violent to build a wall in a relationship, I tell you it is. It is a violence towards somebody when we separate ourselves. It's violence towards somebody. You have felt the same thing. Think right now about a relationship that has been broken off. The emotions you went through, the pain that you went through is violence. It's separation. And the freedom of love says, you don't have to live in that anymore. You don't have to stress yourself out to be the person that builds the walls. You actually get to do the fun part. Every time I watch those, and you may watch those, the Home and Garden Network, HGTV, that thing. You know all the building shows. I don't watch them. But what I love to watch is when they talk about demo days. Demo days are really fun. Anybody in here ever demoed something? Come on, you probably have. You get to take a hammer and knock a wall down. Tell me, what? I mean, that's great. You get to destroy something. The love of the cross says every day is a demo day. The love of the cross says that every day is a day that you have the ability to tear down a wall. It is through Christ that love has the power to renew relationships. We are free to love in the enduring, suffering love of Christ, knowing that it is through this power that all hate, all violence, and all fear will be transformed. This is what the Spirit is doing from the very beginning, bringing all things unto God. It's the freedom to know that God loves you just as you are today. Not what He wants you to be tomorrow, but who you are today. And in knowing that, this is the freedom to move, as one German theologian says, in the broad places of the Spirit. While hate narrows the Spirit, while the hate narrows, the Spirit that indwells inside of you widens the world for you to love all the much more. So much so that anybody can fit within the Spirit's love. And so if God does not hate you, then who is there for you to hate? If God does not exclude, then who is there for you to exclude? If God does not marginalize, then who is there left for you to marginalize? I'm going to embarrass, well, I probably won't embarrass her, but Shelby Martindale posted something on Facebook. And I love it, because this is what it says. It's hard to kill someone you have had dinner with. It's hard to kill someone you've had dinner with. That's the freedom that love gives you, to know that anybody is welcome at your table. Doesn't matter who they are. Doesn't matter what they did. They're free to sit at your table, because when they sit at your table, love has a way of doing something. Love has a way of bringing that humanity back. Love has a way of making you look in the eyes of someone and say, You are a person, even though you don't know it, created by God. And for that very reason, I love you. I want to end with a story. It's a story I came across a few weeks ago. It's a story of two women from different places, yet connected by one event. Phyllis Rodriguez is a mom, just like many of you in here today. She is a mom who lost her son in the tragedy of September 11th in the World Trade Centers. Aisha El-Wafi is a mom also, just like many of you in here today. But she is the mom of Zacharias Moussaoui. Moussaoui was arrested a couple of weeks after 9/11 and indicted on 6 counts of conspiracy to commit acts of terrorism. Two moms from two different worlds. One lost her son, while the others had made the plans to take it. Fast forward to a time and a place a year later. Aisha was in town because of her son's court dates. And she asked for a meeting with the families of those who had lost loved ones on 9/11. Security was tight on that day because, as Ms. Rodriguez would say, why does she want to meet with us? It was in that meeting, in the midst of tears and embrace, where the mom whose grief was unbearable because she had lost her son, and the mom whose grief was unbearable because of the actions of a son, found a new beginning. To which Ms. Rodriguez now says, now what I have learned from her is a woman, not only who could be so generous under these present circumstances, and what it was then and what was being done to her son, but the life she's had. I never met someone with such a hard life, from such a totally different culture and environment from my own. And I feel that we have a special connection, which I value very much. And I think it's all about being afraid of the, other, but making that step and then realizing, hey, this wasn't so hard. Who else can I meet that I don't know? Or that I'm so different from? And if we have the video, Aisha says it this way.
So, Aisha, do you have a couple of words to for conclusion? Because our time is up.
Je voulais dire que il faut essayer de connaître l'autre.
I wanted to say that we have to try to know other people, the other.
Il faut être généreuse, généreux de cœur.
You have to be generous, and
et
your heart
esprits.
Must be generous. Your mind must be generous.
Et de la tolérance.
You must be tolerant.
Il faut lutter contre la violence.
You have to fight against violence.
Et j'espère qu'un jour on va vivre ensemble dans la paix et dans le respect des uns et des autres.
And I hope that someday
voilà
we'll all live together in peace and respecting each other. This is what I wanted to say.
I think for most of us, we'd understand if Phyllis Rodriguez didn't want to do any of that. I think we'd say it's her right. It's her right to be angry. It's her right to hate. I think we'd say that. But they took a different road. They took the hard road. They took the road in which Jesus says, not my will, but yours be done. They took the road to say, I'm going to look in the eyes of the other, even if the other is my enemy. And when I do that, love can win. The shadow of the cross reminds us that the violence and the hatred that we've seen throughout the week is not the final story. The violence and the hatred we've seen throughout the week is not the end. But as a community of people who are the shadow of the cross, we have the ability to testify to something different. We have the ability to walk across the aisle, to go to our brothers and sisters who look different than us, shake their hand, and tell them that we love them. We have the ability to watch the creative love of God break forth in this world when all we see is violence. We are free to do that. That is the freedom that God calls us into, is to love, is to give ourselves to the people around us.
You've been listening to Grapevine Church of Christ. Subscribe to the Sermon Podcast and to our other Grapevine Church podcast to hear special behind-the-scenes content. For more information, visit our website, www.grapevinechurch.com.